Good morning and welcome to the worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls on the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. We're joined today by the chairperson of our Board of Deacons, Wayne Nettinay, by Dave Valerio, our musical director, and our youth pastor, Glenn Roundsville. Pastor Glenn, would you please call us to worship?
Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. So let us all praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Lord, we know you are present with us through your word and by your spirit, living and working through us. Grant us strength to follow you. Use the power that only you possess to redeem us, heal us, and transform us. And now we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
At this time, I'd like to ask Gil Reinders for the mission moment, please. Gil?
Hey, good morning, everyone. The mission committee met just this past week. And we decided it would be wise to put forward the missions for the summer, just thinking of people traveling or getting away, and sometimes you may not be able to connect in with us. So this way, you'll know exactly what our plan is for this summer. And we've really captioned it by saying we're impacting the lives of children through each of our mission projects. So Kathy, beautifully typed up all the information. It was in the email that was sent out. You'll see it also in the triad that comes out this week. And let me just briefly highlight these. In June, we want to support once again the summer cafe program of the Attleboro Area Interfaith Collaborative. And this actually will be their 10th season. What was referred to as the Kids Cafe was started 10 years ago out of concern for kids that receive meals at school that are funded. And when they're out of school, some of the parents, Pam Torello, who's a member of our church and also oversees this program, shared with us that sometimes parents can only afford one meal. And that was the initiation of the Kids Cafe. Last summer, because of the pandemic, they changed it to a grab and go. And there were five sites around Attleboro through Norton where kids and families could go to pick up meals. And they actually provided over 7,000 meals. And we provided some of the financial support for that. So it's going to happen once again this summer. It begins June 21st. It will run through August 22nd. They're going to be doing the grab and go process in the various parks. And Pam suggested to us the best way to contribute is through a monetary contribution. And she is able to purchase food through the Greater Boston Food Bank. So that's those food purchases are at reduced prices. So it's kind of a bigger bang for the buck. So we're asking in June that you'll make contributions, you know, up through July 1st. And on the memo line of your check, if you simply put AAIC, that will indicate that the contribution is going to Attleboro Area Interfaith Collaborative for Grab and Go. So that's June, and we want to get the money to her early so she'll have it for making those purchases. And then just looking ahead in July, we're going to be providing backpacks filled with school supplies. In the past, we were working with Betty Poyer and backpacks for foster children. But this summer, we've decided to work with the Greater Attleboro Area Council for Children. That's the group that provides the gifts for children in December that we've supported in the past. And they've been providing backpacks to the school superintendents in Attleboro and North Attleboro for several years. It's about 75 backpacks. And what we're hoping is that through our contributions, they'll be able to provide more backpacks, possibly providing some for the Plainville School District. And then the superintendents see that they're shared with all of their various schools, so kids in need can benefit from those backpacks that are filled with school supplies. So that's the July project. And then in August, thinking of kids once again, we want to be able to provide a vacation Bible school outreach ministry. And, you know, so they also get benefit from spiritual nurture and learning God's word. And that will be provided through Scripture Union. And we'll be supporting Mary Sutton, who is their representative here in southeastern Massachusetts. And you'll see in the notes, there's actual... This will be the second year of doing a virtual, what they refer to as Super Kids as their ministry, that our children will be able to connect with if parents would like to do that July 26th through 30. So our gift in August would be supporting her ministry and Scripture Union as a whole in their ministry here in Massachusetts. And the last thing I want to say is, the new Bible guides that Scripture Union provides us that I've been distributing for it seems ageless since I was working for Scripture Union, but those are in for the next quarter. I'll be dropping them off at the church. And I just want to say I've read those for 15 years. It's amazing the folks that they have writing the devotionals and how God's word really connects with what we're experiencing today. And it's they're relevant readings and a good way to start your day. So I just give that little emphasis as well. So that's our plan. June, providing healthy meals. Let's support once again the Kids Cafe and Grab and Go. So thank you all and God bless.
Thank you, Gil, very much. I don't have any announcements to make at this time. Does anyone want to make an announcement? Okay, hearing no announcements, then Mr. Dave, would you please introduce the music for us?
Yes. Good morning, everybody. Our opening hymn was, if you recognized it, Take Time to Be Holy. And we're certainly glad you took time this morning to be with us. Hymn that we're going to sing is, if you have a hymnal at home, it's number 160 in the hymnal. It's Rejoice Ye Pure in Heart. And Sherilyn has put up the lyrics. If you go to the chat section, hit on the chat button and you'll see the lyrics there. It's three verses. So let's all sing together. Rejoice Ye Pure in Heart.
sing. Your clear holds on us raise, and alleluia's loud will stands ring echoes upward float like wreaths of incense cloud. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. Yes, on through life's long path, still chanting as ye go. From youth to age, by night and day, in gladness and in woe. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing.
Thank you, Mr. Dave, for that. This is the time we share our celebrations. Do any of you have a celebration you would like to share?
Yes, I do.
Okay, Maddie, I can always depend on you.
This, like, past Friday, I had a graduation and a first prom.
Yeah, I was waiting anxiously to hear how that went.
It went well.
Good, good. I'm so glad. So are you home now?
Yeah, for the summer.
Yep, home for the summer. Okay, very good. Good. Any other celebrations?
I have two.
Okay, Ben?
We're celebrating two graduations. Shane graduated from North Alborough High School, and Sophia graduated from kindergarten.
That is a stretch.
We're getting them at both ends.
Yes, you are indeed. Very good. Congratulations, Dad.
Thanks. And Carol?
Yes.
Carol, Warren and I will be celebrating our 47th wedding anniversary on Tuesday.
Congratulations. That's wonderful. Yes, absolutely.
I have two celebrations.
Yeah.
I had my granddaughter graduate from Bishop Feehan, and high honor students all the way through Spanish, English, math, and science are high honors, on top of being on high honors all through high school.
Wonderful.
Wow.
You must be very proud.
That's great.
And I'm going to see my sister down the Cape today.
Excellent. Good day for that.
Yeah.
Looks like it's going to be nice and sunny.
Celebrate Father's Day a week early.
Yeah. Oh, great. Excellent. Any other celebrations?
Carol, I'm going to go see my daughter, Kim. She's going to be singing at the Covenant Church.
Great.
I'm going to be leaving in a few minutes. I think I can leave with everybody else too. So.
Okay, well, that's great. That's what fathers do.
Yep,
thank you, Glenn. We'll see you. We'll see you soon. You won't be here the next two Sundays, right?
No, no.
Okay. All right. We'll see you back in July. Okay. Thank you, Glenn.
Yep.
Yes.
Carol,
and
I'd like to just say that I'm thankful for our president and, so proud of everything he's done in such a short time. And he deserves our praise.
I would agree with that.
I should say our prayers. Yeah.
I would agree with that as well. Thank you. Any other celebrations?
I just like to celebrate that I'm back this week. If you missed me last week.
We did.
And me, my son, and his wife, Alicia, made it safely out of Yankee Stadium last week and we got home. So it was good. We got thrown out of one place, but they let us come back in, and it was a fun, it was a great time, and it was we were blessed to be able to be there, and we made it home safely, and it was a good time. So thank you for the week off.
And the Red Sox won, which made it all the sweeter.
Yes. Yeah.
Very good. Any other celebrations? Hearing none, then let us turn to our concerns this morning. We continue to pray for this morning for people who are ill and others in need of our prayers, including Loretta Lomoff, Jennifer, Sue Winship. I saw her and she was doing a little bit better this past week, so that's good news. For Joe Brigham's mother, Betty, who fell, she's recovering at home now from that fall. for Julie Goss's brother-in-law, Bert, for Marie, for Lee, that's Tyson Bowles' sister, for Jane and her family. I understand Jane was also hospitalized this week as well, as may still be in the hospital. So our thoughts and prayers are with you, Dave, and with her. We pray for Brigida, for Len, who is at home in hospice care, and Nancy, who is with him. We pray for Bob Avoyan's sister, Marge, for Donna, who is recovering from surgery, for AJ, the Bishop Feehan hockey player. We pray for Tyler, and we pray for Cher. I understand that she has been struggling with pneumonia and such, so our thoughts and prayers are with her. I think she's with us today, which is great. For those who are in the nursing homes, we remember Jackie Glass and Carolyn Farrell, Doris Brunel, and Ed and Janet Dyer are now both back at Life Care once again. So please join in prayer with me for all of these people. And we continue, of course, to pray for the final end of this pandemic. We pray for those who suffer from addictions. We pray for the well-being of our nation, and we pray for our communities. So let us be in a moment of prayer in special need of God's grace. Let us pray. God of all times and places, all things and all people, do we spend too much of our days in the future devising and planning, reaching and straining, hoping and dreading? Help us to realize that for all our dreams and aspirations, we owe a debt of gratitude to times and people in our past. We remember our fathers and our mothers and all others who fashioned us into the beings that we are now. We see their frailties, and because of our own frailties, we see them all the more. And we forgive them and have sympathy for them. Shall we not bestow upon our sons and daughters those same human weaknesses? Nevertheless, we are grateful for all of their gifts and nurturing that have brought us to this time and place. Help us to move on from here and grant us a vision for the future of Central Congregational Church. Help us embrace anew our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who tells us that we need to be born again. We recognize that need, but perhaps not with a sudden bolt of lightning, but with a steadily growing faith in you as our Creator and Jesus as our teacher. We thank you also for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Jesus said that he would not leave us alone to our own devices, but would send another comforter, the Holy Spirit. And so we turn to ask the presence of your Holy Spirit among us. Hear our prayers about ourselves, our loved ones, our nation, our community, and our world. We ask that you be present with all of those whose names we have already mentioned this morning, as well as with those whose names we now speak in this time of silence.
Let's just see how your battery's getting low. Is it plugged in?
Yeah. All this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Weeks ago, we celebrated that first Pentecost when all the Jews from many nations were gathered together in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples, and everyone heard them speaking in different languages. And many heard and understood them in their own language. Some were amazed, and others suggested that those disciples were merely drunk. Peter immediately addressed the issue. I'll be reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Please hear these words. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Thank you, Wayne. A family was driving through Kansas on vacation. I don't know how many of you have had the opportunity to drive all the way through Kansas, but I did it many times on my way from Malden, where I lived, and to Denver, where I went to school, to seminary. It's a very long stretch of road and very flat and not much to see on either side of the road. But there was a five-year-old boy, their son was with them, Tyler, and he was looking out of the car window and he said, "Boy, it's so flat out there that you can look farther than you can see." That's a pretty good expression. You can look farther than you can see. Think about that for a minute, looking farther than we can see. In the early 1930s, an engineer named Joseph Strauss looked out over San Francisco Bay, and in his mind, he formed a picture of a beautiful bridge connecting the two sides of the bay. And in 1936, the Golden Gate Bridge became a reality. He looked further than anyone else could see. And we call that being a visionary, someone who has a vision. Martin Luther King was a visionary as well, and he had a vision, and it was revealed in that wonderful sermon, "I Have a Dream." What do you suppose the vision was of what I would call the January 6th insurrection? Half of our citizens, we're told, think it's wrong to call that an insurrection, and those people, insurrectionists. So what is the vision that could have possibly led to that awful day in our history? I think it's safe to say that our nation needs a new vision. Actually, the old vision wasn't so bad, that we are all created equal, endowed with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, for many people, that vision of our forefathers has evaded them because of racism, egocentrism, poverty, you name the reasons. I think it's also true to say that the world needs a new vision. And that's why the G7 summit has been so important this weekend that Jackie was referring to in celebrations. But wars rage on, and many people look at the challenge of terrorism, both foreign and domestic, and long for a vision, a cure for this deadly scourge. People are dying daily by gunfire in our nation. It's a national epidemic. People of conscience look at our public health care system and cry for a new vision of how to care for those who are uninsured. Scientists are looking at the troubling signs of rising global temperatures and a hope for a new vision of how to stave off a potential natural disaster. Many of us long for a vision that will again unite us, the United States of America, as a people. It's the vision thing. It's so important. Think of a pile of scrap cardboard, old car parts, used tires, and other cast-offs. What would be the first thought that would pop into your mind? Trash heap. That's what it would do for me. A junkyard, an eyesore. Yet there was an article in Time magazine a few years back about a professor at Auburn University who looked at those same items and saw new homes in them. Professor Samuel Mockbee is the visionary behind an architecture firm that specializes in making lovely, functional, low-cost public buildings and homes for poor residents in Alabama. Mockbee and his students make these lovely, functional buildings out of the trash that they retrieve. Specifically, they turn scrap cardboard, old car parts, used tires, and other cast-offs into real homes. A year later, some of those students built a chapel and a community center for the residents of Mason's Bend, a tiny rural town in Alabama. Students used more than 100 discarded car windows to make one whole wall of the center. Former students have made out of hail bays or old tires wonderful homes, which are then donated to local residents and are attractive enough to be even featured in some architectural magazines. These students learn to see the value in refuse and to turn that refuse into something beautiful and lasting. That is visionary. Some people look at the discarded car windows and see trash. Others see building materials. And the difference is vision. What do you see? How do you look at your world and how do you look at yourself? Because that will determine to a great extent what you will contribute to the world and how good you will feel about your life. It's all about vision. In the year 7 BC, the planets Jupiter and Saturn appeared very close together in the night sky. It happened again, the first time in decades and centuries, I understand, this past winter, casting a bright glow similar to that of a single large star. The following year, Moses, Jupiter, and Saturn were also closely aligned. Some scholars believe that one of these two events produced the bright light in the sky that the wise men followed when they came to Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. You know the story. What fascinates me is this. Hundreds of thousands of other people living in that part of the world saw the same bright light in the sky. They didn't leave their homes that night to go and find the newborn king. What was different about these magi, these wise men? It was vision. These magi were searching for something that was real, something that would transform their lives. And God loves people who are searchers. The statesman Konrad Adenauer put it this way: we all live under the same sky, but we don't all have the same horizon. Today is a day for expanding our horizons to scan the skies to become searchers. Of course, there's danger. The world hates the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs and the square holes, the ones who see things differently. Be forewarned. Sometimes they crucify such persons. As someone has said, those who dance appear insane to those who cannot hear the music. But this is where change begins, with those who are searching. As we emerge from the threat of the COVID-19 pandemic, we as a church have already begun to reimagine what church means. Will we just fall back into old comfortable patterns, or do we become visionaries for the church? We have so much to think about, so much to explore. Black Lives Matter began to wake us up around the issues of systemic racism. Climate change, in my opinion, is real, and we humans have not been good stewards of God's creation. Discrimination is around issues of gender, sexuality, and poverty, and all our young people are pushing back on these many issues, as well they should. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, did something extraordinary. He had denied Jesus Christ at the time of his crucifixion, and he had thought of himself as unworthy and shameful. He had put himself on that scrap pile. But then there was the resurrection, and then there came Pentecost. And this fisherman, who never really spoke very much, began to preach, because finally he had caught Jesus' vision for the world. And as you know, he became the rock of the church. And he quoted the Old Testament prophet Joel in his very first sermon. You heard those words read this morning by Wayne. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. As a church, may God help us to prophesy, to dream dreams, and to see visions. Amen.
Thank you.
May the infinite love of our Creator, the compassionate love of our Comforter, and the persistent love of our guide, the Holy Spirit, surround each of us and give us joy. Go forward now in the peace of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you all for being here today, and feel free to stick around and unmute yourselves and tell us what's happening in your lives.